Good evening, good day, whatever time it is for you on this planet. It is over here Monday, August 14th, 2017. We are a few minutes away from, 6 minutes away from 6 o'clock in the p.m. here on the west coast of the United States. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. I welcome you to this episode, tonight's episode of the Winfree Hour on Monday. As usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call, and we are waiting for those who are going to call in to show up. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little bit of music. Thank you so much again for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Mary in Nebraska.
Hello, Mary. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
All right, good to be here. Thank you for being here. I'm sorry, what did you say?
And how are you, Hyatt, tonight?
I didn't copy that. Say it again.
How are you tonight?
Oh, myself, I'm doing fantastic. Yes, especially for a Monday.
That's good.
Yes.
The days go by so fast, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, we're only 3 minutes away from the hour, but at this point, here on the conference call, it's just you and I.
And, oh, my goodness.
And BBS radio.
All right. Well, they usually come in right at the last second, right?
Yeah. When is going to... I asked him last... Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you, hi.
All right. And not somebody else. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Anna in L.A.
Hello, Anna. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right. No, as I was going to say, when I asked him to send the emails out again, just, you know, automated for the three conference calls we do on the Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday, get a reminder. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Heis.
Right. Thank you for being here. And I think somebody else came in here with you. I welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location. This is the helicopter. Yeah, Vince helicopter. All right. Everything went well, Prudy, yesterday?
Yes, everything did go well.
Great.
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
All right. You did it.
That's true, but you helped a lot.
All those that are listening in through BBS Radio Online, thank you for joining in. Wynn will be here shortly, and then we will take off. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Who else? Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Terry in Dallas. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else? Please say your name and location.
All right, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don, and welcome.
Hi, I'm here, too. It's April, Las Vegas.
Hi, April in Vegas. Welcome.
Hi.
Anyone else that I missed please feel free to say a name and location. Right. And I want to say welcome to you and you and you on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. Somebody else joined in on the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say name and location. No, wait, somebody left. That's bad news. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. How are you?
Good. Very good.
All right. Let's see. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, friendly voice.
Many positive greetings to you, Ray, and welcome.
Blessings.
All right. Let's see. Somebody else joined in, I believe. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
Hi, I'm hanging in.
All right.
How are you?
Doing great. Thank you, Janine. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
All right. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Don Ron in Boulder Creek, California.
Don Ronanda, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Helicopter arrived yet?
Yes, it's been hanging there for a bit. And there comes the pilot. No, wait, it's the co-pilot. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. Good.
All right.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday call. Please say your name and location. We welcome you. All right. I believe Vin will be here shortly. Right, Terry?
Hi.
All right.
Should be
here
in a minute.
He
called right. And said, "Are you ready?" Never ready.
Yeah.
We have mimosa trees in the front yard, in the back yard, in the side yard, and for sure they dropped hundreds of little mimosa trees, time to grow in the rain. If they had their way, there'd be a mimosa forest.
Hello, Wynn.
Hello.
And somebody else joining in, welcome. Please say your name and location. Susan.
Hi, it's Susan in Virginia.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is that Susan Rush?
Yeah, what happened to Susan in Michigan? I haven't heard her lately.
She's been on here still. Yeah, she has.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Well, hello, Susan, if you're there.
She's not here currently, as far as I know.
That's not Susan Rush, is it?
Yes, yes, Wynn. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Susan. Aren't you related to Benjamin Rush?
Possibly.
Rush Limbaugh.
You know, no.
I don't want to be related to him.
You know who Benjamin Rush was, don't you?
Yeah, a big wig back in the American Revolutionary period.
But you know who? Do you know who he reincarnated as?
Yeah, Terry Friedman.
That's right.
I believe it. Why not? Stranger things have happened, right?
I wonder if Terry's going to come back.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him.
No. The last time that he came through, he was looking at Wynn, and he said, gosh, you're localized.
Say that again? He was looking at Wynn and said, gosh, you're localized?
Yeah, you're localized.
Break that down for us.
I think we're all localized. I think he also said that I look much better from the higher realms than I did in 3D.
Right. Yeah.
What a nice compliment. That's the nicest thing he's ever said to you.
Right.
Better than nothing, right?
Well, you know what? I don't thrive on compliments. If I did, I'd be dead.
Right.
Good.
In fact, you know, I do appreciate when people appreciate us. That reaches me, you know? Mm.
I appreciate you. There was a pink heart over my bed tonight.
There was?
Pink heart over your bed?
Yep. Yeah, on the wall.
Floating over your bed?
No, it was when I looked at the wall, it was like on the wall.
I see.
Like energy, pink energy on the wall.
Well, you want to know? Would you like to know something?
So I want to thank you and Elohim.
You're officially initiated into the group of nutcases.
Yeah. A pink nut. I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, one time somebody who listens to our calls sent me an email that, you know, he was feeling really, really expanded. And he was watching his computer. And his real player changed from black to pink on his computer screen. Then he sent me a picture of it, okay?
Wonder why it happens to some people, not others.
Because the others are bad.
I'm thinking. I'm too bad still. I haven't refined myself.
You know what? It's kind of like there really is an expansion. Okay, I think that there are a lot of reasons why those things happen for someone and not someone else. And you really doing a lot of channeling tonight. We'll ask them. Okay.
Ask them what? What are we going to ask them?
I don't want to tell your conscious mind. You'll screw it up.
Yeah. I don't like to hear stuff beforehand because then they go, gosh.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference
gosh,
is being recorded.
All right. This is August 14th, 2017. Went in Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere. And yesterday I was talking about patterns and how to get over them, or just about them in general. I mean, everybody in a physical body nobody escapes having patterns. Sometimes people disguise their patterns. Some people look good all the time. They find ways to stay above their patterns, and you can do that. But nonetheless, if you falter a little bit, you go back into your pattern, okay? And so we're going to be looking at what are these patterns, where do they come from, and we're going to be talking to the Elohim, and Terry told me they were excited to discuss this. Is that right, Terry? Hello, Terry? Hey,
that's
this
right.
Is one call.
They were really excited about it, and they were talking about chattering about it a little bit all day. And I was going, gee, I wish we were doing the call now.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. I mean, they're telling me stuff right now.
Okay, well, we're going to get started, all right? You ready?
Okay.
No, good. We can start. I just want to make sure you're unmuted, all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm unmuted. I'm looking out the window. There's a man with a dog.
Uh-huh.
The dog is investigating our driveway.
No, the dog is not pink, is he?
He is kind of pink.
Just checking. Okay. How many pink dogs do you see?
Not very many. He's four. Let's see. He only has a trace of pink. He's more blonde.
Wait a second. Okay, before Whole Planet Healing tonight, I'm going to have to do a search on blonde dog jokes.
Blonde dog jokes? No, we don't need a joke tonight. They want to get gone.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over to Ra'an, combination of... Go ahead.
We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. We are a combination of an aspect of Ra and an aspect of Elohim. And we are delighted to be in service to you and to come to and to bring you more information about patterns. This is a delightful subject. We start out by speaking of there are various aspects of the human that go together to make up the human matrix and the human complex. There are the cells, and there's the lymphatic system, and there's the gland system. There's the bones. There's the system of nerves, and they all work together, and they all have various life forms. Now, there is an underlying vehicle of consciousness, which is the light body. And an individual maintains as a basis his light body, and when on the death of the physical body, the light body leaves, and it has with it a collection of, you might call it strings, in string theory, that move together, and that has been put together over lifetime after lifetime, and the patterns have been developed and activated and resonate in the person's DNA to mold and bring the person into a pattern for his new body. It's a pattern of survival. Things that he has learned that allow him to survive in the third density. So if he has a pattern that he has developed that is no longer functional or is serving him well in this lifetime, it is because when he developed that pattern, it was valid, and he installed it into his vibrational reference point to refer to. Then he may have another lifetime where those patterns are no longer operational or no longer functional, no longer serves him well. And now they do not serve in present time the things around him, his connection with his surroundings and his operational reference points for how he is. Well, the family that he is brought up in is very loving and knowledgeable. He will trigger within his past reference points a different way of responding than if his family is mean and abusive. Then there's a question, if the family's mean and abusive, like, there must have been some time in of vibrations that he chose that family because there were things that he needed to learn, lessons he needed to learn. So what a person runs into when they are a child in a lifetime, trigger the patterns that are latent in his light body to come through into his physical body and his responses. So when one looks at one's patterns, one sees that there are multiple patterns. If he didn't have patterns, he wouldn't be existing in the physical universe. Like, there's patterns of reference points for walking, for running, for development of the muscles, for the development of the brain. There's patterns that the body follows in growing and in his connection with his family and with his friends and socially. They're patterns that allow him to operate. And a lot of the patterns are very, very good patterns because he bases his life upon reference points to the patterns. If all of his patterns disappear, which can happen in by being in a nuclear explosion, and all of his patterns of energy that have been thrown together in the string theory suddenly are ripped off by the nuclear explosion, then he's really in trouble because he loses all his reference points towards operation. So patterns are very important towards establishing how the individual is to gain his lifetime. So is the pattern that you're trying to get rid of something that is bothering you, like maybe lifetime after lifetime you're very low on money and you're struggling? That could be a pattern, and it could have a lesson to when one is affluent to pay attention to a time when they might not be so affluent, not just consider that it will last forever, and then when it's gone, to sit there lamenting that now it is gone. That can be a pattern a person falls into lifetime after lifetime, but maybe eventually learns the lesson of laying away something for the future, or knowing how to provide for one's future. So these patterns can bring forth lessons which in future lifetimes can help one reestablish a different pattern. If one has come to the end of the rope on one pattern, then at that point it is harder to change. One can move into 12th-dimensional reality where creation starts and begin to lay a new track in that realm, which then filters down into the third density. So even though one may not have any money, but if they get into the 12th dimension and consider that they are affluent, that there is an answer, answers can come very, very quickly. Take a moment and we look over the subject farther. Do you have questions?
Yeah, if a person had a lifetime where they were very wealthy, and would they have another lifetime where their high self was directing them to not be wealthy, to be very poor, in order to enhance their expansion of compassion, which they may not have had when they were healthy? I've read this, that your high self directs you on an evolutionary path so that you get the lessons you need to learn the law of one. But that may not be true for somebody who's on a negative path. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Well, if one is on a negative path and they are service to self, and they may be in a sort of a backwards flow where they consider bringing the money into themselves is the most important thing, and they then see that there are sometimes devious ways of dealing, or they're inconsiderate, non-compassionate ways of dealing, bring them a physical abundance and ease, and so they may think, okay, this is working really well, and they build themselves a tower where they're isolated from others, and they do not see or experience the suffering that others might or have compassion for them. However, eventually, their tower will fall. They can build very, very high towers in the sky. And eventually, let's say that they're some kind of a king and they're not taking good care of their people or thinking of their people, and they're taxing their people to death, and the people are getting very angry because they are equal in the king, to the king, in the eyes of their eyes and the eyes of God. They feel that they are as worthy as the king, and how come the king is getting all this? And eventually, this diversion, this division will begin to divide the kingdom, and the king can bind himself in a fallen tower. So some individuals
how does this work over a lifetime to lifetime, though? The guy, let's say he serviced himself and he's king. And not all kings fall. Most kings die and they're still in their wealth. Sometimes there's a lineage of kings all like that. In fact, maybe it's the same entity reincarnating into the lineage in the future, and somehow they manage to maintain their power and their control. And it's my observation that service to self is always trying to increase their levels of control, as we see in today. All of the numerous things that are taking place to control the minions, so to speak, by what we call the negative elite. You know, everything from huge war, everything from scaring people with germs, everything from programming people through the media and through the through music and the young people. It's a huge, huge operation to keep the masses in a state of a pattern of fear and oppression, okay? And I'm sure
you feel that in doing that the masses will be struggling and working very, very hard and not have enough time to take a look around and see what's going on. And they will maintain their power, their position, their wealth, their monetary authority, and then they feel like this is survival, and it must be carried on. So these things run in families, where the families exert the power, and then they pass it on to their children, who pass it on to their children, and they hang on to it like it was their life to them. So some of them indeed do then, when they reincarnate, experience the opposite side of the coin, born as a poor person, and then some of those people born as poor person make it back up to a position of wealth because they have a pattern built in of collecting wealth for how to run businesses and to communicate And so often you can see from what a person is doing in their lifetime what they have been doing in their past lifetimes, because the ways of dealing with things carry over. Now, the pattern just isn't in the person, in his soul. The pattern is in his light body. So it's like the light body is like a capacitor that's maintaining all of these connections and patterns and strings, vibrational strings of how to go about stuff. And he's relying on that. So it then brings through these things in his light body. So oftentimes when somebody seeks to change their pattern, it's like held in electrical suspension in their light body. And so they find it hard to change because it is part of the whoop and warp and makeup of built into their light body matrix.
The question is,
if a person takes a look at what is the payback, what is the payback of the pattern that they have that they would like to change? And then if they look at what the payback is, then they need to look at whether this is now appropriate for their surroundings, environment, and the people around them. Is their pattern appropriate now? Is something that they have relied on in the past and has brought them payback, but now it doesn't seem to be working anymore. So they can look at this and see how they are, or think they might be going to be paid back for something and relying on it, but it's not working. And so they can then analyze it, compare it with what's going on around them and what's expected to give them in order to get the payback that they wish. What is expected of them, and they might not want to do what's expected of them. It might not be appropriate to do it. And what their pattern says may be more of an appropriate response than what is going on. And so a person can communicate. Communication is very, very important to be able to tell what is expected, what are these people around them expect, what is society doing, and do they want to continue in the same company and instigate some kind of a change or see what the new payback would be. Oftentimes, something that's going wrong is because of a lack of communication.
You know, the question that comes up is that everyone listening to this call is living in a world where this is taking place. And people...
Living life.
And that there is this oppression. There is this wanting to keep you down. There is this wanting to keep you economically enslaved. And when somebody finds themselves living in a world like this, which everyone on this line is living in this world, and they're reaching to go beyond that, how do they overcome this overwhelming oppression by what is termed the negative elite?
That is something that everyone is putting up with or is confronted with or is presented with, it takes ingenuity to steer one through this and not fall under the bus. If one realizes that this realm, this third density, is like a playground, is like a school, is has bullies, and that they are being confronted by this, but this is not the overall big picture, and the overall big picture, those people with those service to self ideas and pressures that they're installing on other people will not be able to move up into the really high dimensions because of their service to self-orientation. They can't get there. When you get to the higher realms, everything is transparent. So everybody knows, and one can see in the higher realms one's motivations. They cannot survive in the higher realms. So we all have an advantage in that in the larger picture, we are building a reference point that will take us all the way up through the dimensions, and we will have a lot more ability to survive in the long run and to achieve companionship. It's very hard to achieve companionship when one is really, really service to self. You get a bunch of followers, a bunch of slaves that are not being their own self when they're trying to get a bunch of slaves, a bunch of people, so they can be king man, a king top man. But this is a game that will not take them where they really want to go in the long run.
Is the answer for someone that's in this realm that they're in this realm and they can learn to create in this realm from the higher dimensions, and it can bypass the oppression of the negative elite in this realm?
Yes, they know in their heart that they are bigger than all of this, and that they aren't falling under the bus. They aren't falling for the oppression and the threats and the dissension. They aren't falling for it. They, within their own heart, are allied with the higher dimensions, with God, with companionship, with love, and then they know who they really are. And if they do not succumb, that's one of the lessons, is to not succumb within your own balance, within your own identity, within your own ethical system, within your own self, to their game, their subterfuge.
Mm-hmm. One of the patterns in this realm that a huge amount of people have is unworthiness.
Yes.
And
it has been instilled in people. It has been instilled in people on purpose because that keeps them down and makes it easier for them to be controlled.
Mm-hmm. Now, the truth of the matter is, no one is really unworthy in the eyes of God.
Yes. That's right. And so you got this is why a number of people get very, very upset, because there is a pressure on them to believe that they aren't worthy, that they're lesser than, and they know it's not true, and they get very angry about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a previous conversation we had a few years ago, and it talked about, take it till you make it. And
yes.
So, is that one way to get over unworthiness, to fake it till you make it?
Well, yeah, if we are looking and doing and focusing on a feeling of unworthiness, it's actually you really know somewhere in your heart that that's not true, that you are worthy, that you are as good as anybody else, that you are a part of God that's very, very cherished and treasured and important. And you yourself are very, very important. So this is really, in a way, not a case of fake it till you make it, for some sin or something that you have done somewhere in your past, either in this life or some other life, you may feel very, very unworthy. And just realize that you can be forgiven easily. Just ask for forgiveness for whatever it is. Forgive yourself. And then ask to not believe all the rhetoric that somebody else is better than you. It's not a case of faking it till you make it. You really made it. You just have to get rid of all the misconceptions, and you're there.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the subdivisions of I am unworthy is I am unlovable, I don't deserve anything, nobody likes me, I have so many burdens on me that people are not going to even want to get near me. And somebody is feeling all of those things. Nobody around me understands me. You know, those are all subsets of I am unworthy. And every one of them, since someone is a creator, every one of them will create exactly what the pattern is. So if you're unlovable, if you believe you're unlovable, then you will be.
You act unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe you are, then you mm-hmm. act the role.
Yeah. So these are very, very, very deep set patterns.
The TV, it's like help out. To reestablish these patterns, it's like, do you want to lose weight? Do you have an ugly body? Do you have bad skin? Do you have a non-standard level of wealth? Do you not dress in the best dress? It's like, so they hold up these pictures of beautiful models, you know, and people tend to think, oh, gosh, I'm not really there. You know, but if you take a look at fat people, you know, they metabolize their food well. They have some fat on them, so if they go into a bad winter, they probably will survive better than the people that don't have weight. I mean, there's a big slant on how people look at things. That is, broadcast on the TV images.
Mm-hmm. I know, for example, for myself, I try to look very carefully at things I do to create drops of energy. And sometimes it feels like I have to endure the drop of energy, which I wish I didn't, but I have to endure it because, I'll give you an example. If I'm on George Norrie, I feel like I'm opening myself up to hundreds of thousands of people. Which I am. And now I can feel this incredible energy of communicating to hundreds of thousands of people. And then afterwards, this is what it feels like to me, we had a high together. And yes. Then I'm still connected. Now everyone goes back into their own life, and I feel the connections start falling apart. And sometimes for a month, I am tired. I am like fuzzy till I regain.
You have connected with a lot of people who are, in a way, drawing on your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's falling away. You aren't getting energy so bad from them, then.
Mm-hmm.
They're drawing on your energy.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that just the price I have to pay for doing that?
Well, it's a reality. Just if you stay at the moment, so it's okay, here's the energy here, and oh my gosh, there is 100,000 people that are still thinking about me, and they're pulling on my energy right now. And if you view it and then let it go, and you will get through it faster.
Mm-hmm. Like on Whole Planet Healing, it's a similar process with a smaller group of people. But the group of people we're holding energy over time. So I don't find it like a depletion of energy because everyone is holding the energy on that, right?
Yes, everyone is holding the energy there. We are holding the energy there.
And you are holding the energy. Mm-hmm. So I am sure everybody has this experience, but they may not identify it. For example,
they might feel that, like after the call, there's a disappointment because all the people hung up. That's
mm-hmm.
They can experience it to some degrees.
Mm-hmm. Or they have friends, and they go out with their friends, and they end up holding energy for their friends, but their friends can't hold energy back. So they come home, and they're tired.
They might have a good time and experience very high energy when they are out, and then they come home, and all of a sudden that energy is disconnected, and there's a sadness or depression for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know that we have said over and over again, you have said, I have said, I know this is true, but it can't be emphasized enough. The first step of getting over your patterns is...
The patterns you don't want. You don't want to get over working viable patterns that enhance your life.
Okay, getting over disabilitating patterns.
Yes.
Patterns of sabotaging, let's say,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Is observation and identifying them, because the majority of people don't even know they have disabilitating patterns. They think that's them, and then they try to work their life.
They were work and their lives around it. Yes.
They work their lives around it and say, well, this is who I am. And they don't
and
even know.
They blame others or something.
Yeah, and they blame others. They're a victim. Or some people have all the luck, you know. Or
yes.
however they think. But the truth of the matter is, for almost every obstacle that we perceive, that there's an aspect of ourselves that is creating the obstacle.
Well,
could
one
we say
is
that?
Focusing on, one is focusing on that, and the reason that they're focusing on that is because there is some aspect of themselves that has vibrated at the same frequency as that.
So if we talk about like overcoming that, the first thing is observing it and assuming full responsibility for the life you're creating, because then you stand a chance of breaking through it when you assume responsibility, even though you've been in all kinds of situations which seem to prove to you the world is bad and, you know, whatever. You can let that prove it to you, and that will reiterate the strength of the negative pattern. So somehow you've got to look at all those things and say, I'm responsible. And even to the smallest detail, to like you have a marriage and you're not having harmony with your husband for whatever reason, and you keep thinking I have the wrong person. Now, sometimes that may be true. Maybe sometimes you have grown to a place where there's no chance of your partner reflecting your essence back to you, and that you hunger for that, and at which point it's best to be honest and say, we've come to that point, and it's better for me to be alone than with this person. And I don't think there's any judgment on that. But I've observed myself in some of the relationships I've had early on in my life that people would complain about me, and then they'd go off and go with someone new, but they'd engage in exactly the same pattern with the new person as they did with me. And
yeah.
I didn't do that with the next person. It was different.
It is probably that they chose you because the patterns were somehow unlocking.
Mm-hmm. So, let me see here. How much time do we have left here? We don't have any time left. It's 6:56. Can you make any closing comments of just for people that are struggling with patterns that they can take with them and help them? Go ahead.
It may be very confusing what you are moving through, but do take heart, because as you work through these individual confusions, eventually things will become more clear. It may seem hopeless that you would understand or move through them, but the confusion is a start at looking at it, and is a start at working your way through. And if you keep observing and keep working on it, more and more can be revealed to you, and eventually things can become very clear.
Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you, for holding the energy for this. And it's 6:57. In 3 minutes, we're going over to Whole Planet Healing. And thank you, Ra'an, for coming with us on Whole Planet Healing. And
it is our pleasure.
And on that note,
all callers are unmuted.